The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. So many ways to take us in. Whichever you choose, whichever you prefer, we appreciate them all the same. We're just grateful that you make us part of your morning. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Sneaky spectacular show today. How you doing, man?
Sneaky spectacular.
Yeah.
Let's go.
They're spectacular, and then there's the spectacular that sneaks up on you. And you're like, whoa, that was spectacular. That's what we got today. You good?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Here's what happens today on the show. We will talk with we'll talk baseball with Mark Borgard. I try to hesitate to sort of update my March-April Cleveland Guardians bet because not everybody's on it, so not everybody's going to be that interested in it. But there's a bunch of folks who are, so we'll update that. We'll talk baseball with Mark Borgard. Paul Carr on the Champions League, the first leg of the quarters. First leg of the quarterfinals of the Champions League. We'll get into it with Paul Carr, who's been pretty scorching hot lately, as I recall. I think he's still on a heater. And we'll talk about the draw and how it really worked out pretty interestingly. We'll get into that with Paul. And then, of course, Masters full steam begins today. John Hasselbauer from the Lines. At PGA Tout, he says that ironically on Twitter. We'll talk Masters with him. And then what has become a tradition here on a numbers game is once the college basketball formula clears, and by the way, we'll get into UConn here momentarily. UConn, of course, flourishing through the formula. You didn't need a formula for UConn this year, but the formula cashes again. We have this tradition where we then segue into Dave Tindall's Masters formula for a day. Not quite as tried and true, but he's hit the runner-up the last 2 years, just to give you an example. But he has a Masters formula. He goes through the last 10 winners at Augusta. It's based on, Kelly, ready for this? Age, world ranking, appearances, best finish, recent form, winning form, recent major form, last year's finish, whole bunch of stuff.
Yep.
We'll get into that with him.
Always a good...
And it produces a name.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think everybody who follows golf looks at what Dave puts out every year for the Masters and how this works out. And I think, especially for those people just getting into golf betting, it's always an interesting way of how do you kind of whittle down the field at the Masters, because a lot of that is what we're all doing just in different ways.
That's right. So we'll talk to Dave by the end of the show as well. We must begin with UConn. And we must begin. Congratulations to everybody who had a future on UConn. I only had them to get to the Final Four. I didn't have a future on them. But to those who did, mazel tov to you. Where do you begin? First back-to-back NCAA champs since the Florida Gators 2006-2007. Before that, it was Duke back in the early 90s. Over the past two NCAA tournaments, UConn 12-0 straight up, 12-0 against the spread. And we're talking big spreads. I mean, this team was just unbelievable. First team in tourney history to win consecutive titles and cover in every game. Point differential last year in the tournament, remember six games, was plus 120. This year was plus 140. That's plus 260, Kelly. I've done the addition.
That's insane.
For UConn as a school, it's their sixth title in the last 26 years. Six titles. Only UCLA and Kentucky, the bluest of blue bloods, have more. 11 for UCLA and 8 for Kentucky. UConn has 6. Little UConn. And what can you say about this game yesterday other than Danny Hurley is the best coach of college basketball? If you didn't know it yet, I hope you know it now. UConn wins by 15, 75-60. They covered the 7-point spread. Listen, Zach Edey was great in defeat. I thought in the first half, I was like, oh boy, this is going to be fascinating. Yeah. Like, this guy's on top. But then he just gassed. Mm-hmm. It felt like he gassed. I don't know if it was because of the pace in this game or just cumulatively, but 37 points in defeat. He did not get most outstanding player. So to the question of, hey, can a guy on a losing team still be, you know, still win most outstanding player? And I mentioned it hadn't happened since 1983 in Akeem Olajuwon with Houston when NC State won the title, beat them in the finals. The answer is probably no, it can't.
Yeah, I'm guessing it still wouldn't have happened, but I did think about, like, at the end of that game was those, like, what was it, the first 5 minutes of the second half where he did feel, it felt like he was out of sync, he was missing stuff. He had a massive game with the potential to be a way bigger game. Like, he could have put up 45 easily in this.
I mean, Purdue scored 60 points, he scored 37 of them. And UConn, as we talked about, you couldn't have had a a better juxtaposition of dominant player on losing team versus democratically great on the other side, right? And Tristan Newton ends up with most outstanding player for the Final Four, not Donovan Clingan. So congratulations to those who had Tristan Newton. And so, you know, what it, Danny Hurley basically, and he said this after the game, but you could tell it was happening during the game, which is, Zach Edey, we're going to let Zach Edey beat us. You get 25 shots, great. But each one of those is going to be a two. You're not going to beat us, even if you make all of them. You're not going to beat us shooting twos. We're going to prevent everybody else. I'm talking about Braden Smith and Lawyer and Gillis and Jones. We're gonna make sure that those guys don't beat us. Because athletically, he knew they're so much better than those guys. And if Edey somehow outplays Clingan by some, no big deal. Mm-hmm. To that effect, Purdue not only made one three-pointer, one, a breadstick, as we call it in tennis, one three-pointer. Forget that. They only got seven off. And that's the only stat you need to know from this game. Seven. Offensive rebounds, obviously, were huge, too, for UConn, much like it was for South Carolina on the women's side. But seven three-pointers attempted. You're never beating UConn with that in your stat line. And so congratulations again to all. And I would just want to say this. For me, obviously, Danny Hurley, like if you don't get that he's the best coach in college basketball, for me it's one and Nate Oates is two. And it's also why, like, I refuse to talk about John Calipari for more than 3 or 4 minutes yesterday, because he's a junior high school coach compared to these guys. Great recruiter, but he's just a junior high school coach. Seriously. When you look at the mastery of guys like Hurley and Nate Oates for Alabama.
How about Hurley helping out his guard on the court?
By the way, why wasn't that a tech?
I have no idea.
You can't touch your player on the court.
I have no idea. I was thinking the same thing.
How is that not a technical foul? Hurley's a spaz. Don't get me wrong. He's also a world-class spaz.
I was like, he's out of his mind. I was like, they are cruising to a blowout, and the guy's losing his mind on the sideline.
Every time there's a charge called on his team, he always says the guy's flopping, right? They put it in slow motion. He's like, flopper.
That was so bizarre. I mean, the ref is right there. He had to, like, almost go around the ref to, like, push his guard. I was like, what is going on right now? What am I watching?
But he's amazing. And so for me, it was less about, you know, what that game, obviously, it wasn't quite Florida national championship blowout, but it was such a...
It was a good first half.
It was a decent first half. Right. Alabama was competitive for a little longer, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
But... it just kept, all I kept thinking about was, where do you put this team historically? And I actually tweeted out yesterday. I said since the year 2000, because you can't, you know, when I was a kid, you can't compare, like, just to use the extreme, you can't compare early 80s teams, for instance, to these teams. Early 80s teams, obviously, guys stayed 3-4 years, but like Carolina in 82 had Jordan, Worthy, and Perkins. Georgetown in 84 had Patrick Ewing and Michael Graham. Like, you can't compare these teams to what exists now. Those guys stayed for 4 years. Right. Jordan, 3 years in his case. So I just arbitrarily said 2000. Where does this team stand? And they got a bunch of answers from folks. By the way, it doesn't have to be a winner of a championship. Just in terms of... So we had Dr. Bob on yesterday. So I texted Bob yesterday because while the game was happening, because we kind of grazed on it yesterday when it was on the show, even before the national championship. And I really want to know, because Aaron Schatz, when he's on with us, he's able to say 1991 Skins, 2007 Patriots, everybody else is third place or beyond, right? Bob's brain doesn't work that way. So Bob is like not interested in that kind of conversation like I am. So he's like, well, Gil, it'd be a huge project. It'd be really tedious to find that out because there's so many college basketball teams. And he's right, right? It's not a set of 32 teams like the NFL is. It's hundreds of college basketball teams. You could narrow it down. Right, you don't have to analyze all 300 plus. But you do have to analyze more than just who wins the tournaments. And so he did confirm. So he, by the way, I said to him, I go, all right, Bob, if it's too tedious for you, like, get an intern. He's like, I mean, I have to pay somebody, Gil. I'm like, how about your son? He's 6 years old. And he, you know, so he just doesn't care as much.
I was going to say from like the betting standpoint, it is like, well, why do I care about like figuring out what this year's team versus this year's team? Because they're never going to play each other. So, it doesn't matter.
He's so locked into the day-to-day bets that it just doesn't occur to him. call me crazy, but I still have some historical perspective on this stuff that I find interesting. But he did come to what he alluded to yesterday, in a case you missed it, that the answer for him off the top of his head, and he's been doing this forever, but since 2000, the quick answer off the top of his head was actually the 2015 Kentucky Wildcats, who did not win the NCAA tournament, but you may recall went to the Final Four undefeated, lost to Wisconsin, and then Wisconsin got beat by Duke. But that Kentucky team...
The team was loaded.
That had the Harrison brothers, Andrew and Aaron Harrison. Willie Cauley-Stein was also like a huge cog. But Tyler Hulis,
Devin Booker,
Cat, they were all on that team. By the way, that might not have been if we go through stars, that might not have been the best Kentucky team either.
No, it probably wasn't.
Because there was a Boogie Cousins, John Wall team in there too, right? But that he said that's probably the team. He said, I remember having that team higher rated than almost anything that I've ever done. And he said, that's the only comp for this. And honestly, for a 2-year run, I think Danny Hurley's right. With apologies to both Florida and Duke of the early 90s. I mean, Florida had Al Horford and Yannick Noah, this is dad, Joakim Noah. And then Duke, of course, had Leitner, Hurley, his brother, and Grant Hill for 2 years. This was basically revamping for UConn.
Yeah, really impressive.
Congratulations, man. Again, if you were smart enough to lock into UConn early and... who's to say he couldn't revamp and do it again if he sticks around? We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the NBA, golf, tennis. Seen a Calcutta this year for the Masters? That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, and the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
An action-packed fight card is taking over Las Vegas for UFC 300. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any UFC 300 bet. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Skill Alexander, it is Kelly Bidlin. We have so many tweets to get to. We have so many text. But let me just do text real quick. Lou Finicaro, by the way, says, Schmendrick, LOL, have not heard that in decades. You are welcome, sir. I'm glad someone noticed. This is from, I will read a couple tweets. This is from Brad Billups. Is there a Masters prop live winner versus PGA Tour winner?
Ooh.
No, but that'd be a good one.
I don't think I've seen that one. Yeah. There's like top live finisher, like all that stuff.
We have about 1,000 people trying to answer the question of is UConn the best team since 2000? We'll get to those later. The New Jersey, New York says, wait, I'm sorry. You're telling me that Danny Hurley, a man who has gotten into a fight with at least three separate fan bases in the last month and a half, is not a normal coach in his demeanor? A bit of a spaz, is what I'm saying. Jeff Levine, watching UConn's performances touches other buttons. Their movement, obviously, coaching is as much art as it is sport. It is beautiful to see them apply such a selfless approach in such a smooth fashion. Nary a superstar among them. Just awesome. It's a great tweet. Jesse Welch. All right, guys. National championship's over. ANG's first segment is over. Now let's get back to why the hell can't Wemby win Defensive Player of the Year? It's funny you say that. Michael Montesano tweeting this morning. Also, this latest tweet from BKB. Wembanyama minutes played per game this year. Is less than 30. The average all-star minutes played per game is 35.1. If you projected his numbers over 35.1 minutes, he'd be averaging 29.6 points a game, 14.2 boards, 5.6 assists, 4.4 blocks, 52% field goal percentage, 33.3% behind the arc, and 83.1% free throw percentage. That is a MVP season is what that is.
Yeah.
Forget Defensive Player of the Year for that particular argument right there.
Live player to win plus 225 at DraftKings. No, minus 330.
Plus 225, yes, on a live player. Minus 330, no. Thank you, Kelly. At DraftKings. And then to the answer, by the way, Wessel Doug Montesano put in the question. I arbitrarily said the year 2000. So UConn the best team since 2000. He said 1999 Duke had the highest adjusted efficiency margin per KenPom, that's just offensive efficiency minus defensive efficiency, at plus 43. I did say 2000, though, arbitrarily. And they, by the way, they lost to UConn in 99. But he did say 2015 Kentucky, which was the comp that we gave out earlier, plus 36.9 adjusted offensive, adjusted efficiency margin. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some baseball. Mark Borchardt from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert at Base Winner, basewinner.com. All things Base Winner. He also does the BetUS show every day. How you doing, Mark?
Doing good. I'm really excited about this race to 10. And it looks like Pittsburgh is really the front runner right now.
Yeah. So
and
we
it's such a cool bet.
So yeah. We were talking to Kelly and I were talking about this before the show. So, okay. So right now, can we throw up the graphic? So I have a bet for best record, not best record. Let me restate that. Most wins in March and April. And I have the Cleveland Guardians at 65-1 right now. The Pirates are 9-2. The Yankees are 9-2. The Dodgers are 9-4. Remember, they played extra games. The Guardians, who lost a game courtesy of rain in Minnesota, are 8-2. And then the Red Sox are 7-3. Those are the teams at the top. What you're talking about is the race to 10, which was widely available. DraftKings had it. And the Pirates have of the 9-win teams, Pirates, Yankees, Dodgers, they've got the early game today. So we were trying to figure out if anybody has a Buccos first to 10 number out there that they got pre-flop. We were trying to figure it out because we can't find it, but we know it's longer than 20-1. That's as much as we know.
It seemed like that would be something that Jason would have. I mean, it just does. I thought he loved the Pirates, so maybe he's got it.
Maybe. Didn't the Pirates have a great start last year too, Mark?
I don't know.
They did.
Possibly.
Yeah. They were like the first to 20 last year. The Pirates were. And then it just became, you know, a typical Buccos season after that. But this is 2 years in a row where they had a great start. So congrats. If they get it done this morning, and that's a big if, of course, because then the Yankees and the Dodgers are up next this afternoon. But if they get it done for anybody who has that bet, good on you for the Pirates first to 10. Did you dabble in any of these markets?
I bet the Dodgers. I split a unit. I bet the Dodgers a half unit. I think they were 250 plus 250, and then I bet the Braves at 12-1. And it looks like I'm going to have some racing luck to get that Dodgers in, but possibly. I'm rooting against the Yankees, obviously, and a little bit against the Pirates today. Although I don't have that as a play, but I mean it's exciting because it's like, okay, first of all, which game's going to finish first, right? And the Dodger game starts behind the Yankee game. So maybe you're praying for rain a little bit in that Yankee game, you know?
Their
game starts before it.
This didn't come into play, but it could have. I cashed a 15-1 on the Panthers to be the last team to win a game in the NFL. And had it been all things equal, which it wasn't in the end, I won it fair and square, but had it been all things equal, it's the first, it doesn't matter if it's the same day, it's the first team to get there that day, you know, like so it's, that obviously would be reversed in the case of the last team to win, but in this case, it's more intuitive. Okay. And let me just say this again, that bet that I have March, April on the Guardians, and I would say this for anybody who has a bet like this, I am more obsessed with that bet than I am with anything else I'm doing. Every day I'm a massive Guardians fan. I'm locked into their games. I know their schedule. Like we just posted it up here. I know how many games each team has left, right? I know, where the weather. Like, I was so locked into the weather in Minneapolis on Sunday because I'm like, oh, this is not going to happen. Like, sweating weather because of this stuff. And then you're also, of course, a fan of the teams that are playing, the teams you're competing with, so... These are awesome bets.
That's a great bet. That's almost even a bet. It's more of a sane bet, your bet, because you get a little bit bigger of sample.
Yeah.
But how cool, this wasn't going on, 25 years ago when we started. No, like maybe 20 years ago when we started, So
forget it. Remember, when we were doing it, they didn't have five-inning bets. Like, we forget about that. Nobody had five-inning bets when we started doing this, We act like we're 1,000 years old, but it feels that way. What did you bet today, Mark?
It does. Speaking of that Yankees team, I bet against him today. AJ Puck, I still have hopes for this guy. One of the things he's got is a really high strikeout percentage over his last 150 plate appearances. It's 31.3%. I took Miami at full game plus 177. The Yankees are, talk about an interesting team, Gil. If you look at the Yankees XFIP minus to date, they are 26th in the league and they're sitting at 9-2 in the standings. I don't know if that's even theoretically possible. Obviously it happened, but it's kind of like talk about an outlier. And so I'm looking to fade the Yankees. I think that they're kind of overpriced in the market. And then I'm going to go with the favorite of the show, Gil. I know everybody loves the base winner parlay.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just not going to overthink it. I like Ronaldo Lopez and the Braves. Lopez looking, talk about 30% strikeout rate. He's at 31%. And then Savale for the Rays. This is so surprising. Every time I look at it, I think, gosh, there's an accounting error, but there's not. 32% strikeout rate over his last 150. I've got value on both games. I'm going to go ahead and risk one to win 1.81 units on that parlay, Gil.
All right, repeat the parlay again. It is?
It is the Braves full game, Tampa Bay full game. Risk one to win 1.81.
Okay. Not an official segment until base winner gives his parlay of the day. But you are taking the Marlins straight. I caught that correctly?
I am. You know, it's one of the things that I do on my site, and I want to pump my site up a little bit because I think this is cool, is the expected standings part. Where I can go ahead and look and see, well, what is this team supposed to be?
Love that.
And the Yankees are good. I mean, they're definitely hitting good. 121 weighted runs created plus to date. But they're 9-2. They should be 6.1 and 4.9. So I think that I want to play if the daily card shows value playing against these teams. Then it makes sense to me. And I just think the Yankees are really overrated right now in the market, Gil.
Got 30 seconds. I want your answer to this question because I asked this of Spore yesterday. Obviously, latest pitcher now looks, you know, got the old sore elbow is Framber Valdez of the Astros, right? This on the heels of other huge names like Shane Bieber and obviously Spencer Strider. It's just every day it seems like it's some other big name. Does this make you not want to bet Cy Young props until much later in the season?
Oh, that's a really good point, Gil. I never really thought about it from that perspective, but yes. You know, when you're sitting on two games of Shane Bieber, it's just really elite levels. He had the best base winner ERA in baseball, and you're just excited about it because I had him to win the Cy Young. And now he's done. So now you're out. And yeah, so maybe that's a really good point. Something that I never even thought about, Gil. But yeah, I would agree with you wholeheartedly.
It's just so depressing, man. It really is. Mark Borchardt, everybody. Thank you so much. At Base Winner, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Thank you, Mark.
Peace, Gil.
My man. Best in the business. John Hasselbauer on the Masters. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Kelly Bidlin's working hard for the money today. Get ready to tee off with a special Masters edition of VSiN's Long Shots today at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Work Man, wait. Hard for that money.
Who sings that?
I have no idea.
Donna Summer, come on. Join VSiN experts Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin as they break down the field, analyze the best bets, and uncover hidden long shots. You know, like the 50-1 on Steven Yeager that Wes hit a couple weeks ago.
Bam.
Like the 65-1 that Matt hit on Akshay Batia this Bam. Week. You know.
And that 70-1 I'm going to hit this week.
That's right. And then Kelly's 70-1 that's coming up. Stay tuned. From the favorites of the dark horses, or from the favorites to the dark horses, we'll give you the inside scoop on every player and their odds of taking home the green jacket, whether you're a seasoned golf bettor, just getting into the game. Expert panel is going to provide insights and strategies to help you make informed betting decisions. That's tonight, special edition of Long Shots, 11 p.m. Eastern. To gain a competitive edge and maximize your winnings during this iconic golf tournament, visit us at VSiN.com/masters for all the coverage. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So you wake up in the morning, Kelly, at like, well, I don't know, what do you wake up at?
4:15 a.m.
4:15 a.m. He comes in. He has to deal with me for 2 hours. He has to prep. He has to deal with me for 2 hours. Then he's doing Beating the Book podcast. We do a Beating the Book Masters after this. So he's got to deal with me more. Then he's got to do whatever it is he does the rest of the day while I look for another eclipse. And then tonight, you're doing the live Masters show.
Yeah, this is live to tape. I don't really think I'm ruining any TV broadcasting of it. The magic of TV. We're recording this at 12:30 today. I knew Gil knew it was thought it was live this whole time. Yeah, my day is not that long, buddy.
I was
wondering why you were freaking out earlier about how long my day was.
Just because, you know why? Because then I wanted you to complain about it, and then I wanted to say, yeah, I only did that for 2 years. okay. We get tweets at Beating the Book. It was all a setup. That's what it was. Brian M. Google research suggests the hard true courts come from the greenstone of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Looks like Lynchburg. See? Some people say Lynchburg. Yeah, Charlottesville.
Right. So you're giving me a general area still in a city. I want the company.
Kelly wants to start a quarry. Man wants to start a quarry. Roger Jones, Gil Nye, the science guy. Love it. Will Neil deGrasse Tyson be appearing today? That'd be awesome.
That's great.
By the way, that dude, Gil whenever Nye, the science guy. Whenever well, it was Drew, it wasn't me. But the if Neil deGrasse Tyson always like speaks in a way like it, where his thought bubble is, you're clearly an idiot. Let me explain it to you.
Yeah.
Chance Copperpot, how are you feeling about your most MLB wins for March, April on the Guardians? Yankees exceeding expectations in my Pirates bet, still hanging tough. Let's go. I should have sent this tweet sooner. Now listening to this segment. Oh, he sent it out during the segment. I feel great about it. Obviously, that missed game doesn't help for the Guardians. But big series after the Yankees get through with the Marlins and the Guardians get through with the White Sox. Guardians versus Yankees for three in Cleveland. That is going to be huge towards this bet. Oh, and one clarification. I said earlier that the Pirates get the first crack at the most first team to 10 wins this morning. Check the rules. With the Carolina Panthers one, I made that bet at Circa. Circa was, if they're the last winless, doesn't mean if they lose later in the day. If they're the last winless, even by time, you're a winner.
And that was different shop to shop.
Shop to shop.
So, yeah, check.
DraftKings dead heats it. So if the Pirates win this morning and then the Dodgers and or Yankees win later, they dead heat them, just so you know.
Gil Nye, the science guy. Gil.
Thank you very much. Paul Carr, ladies and gentlemen, from Topeka, Kansas. He is the host of the Expected Value podcast and, of course, works at True Media Networks. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He joins us now to talk some Champions League. Paul, do you bet the Masters, by the way?
A little bit. I would not. You know, I throw some money on it to have something going on. So I will end up with a few plays that are extremely not well-researched or handicapped.
Oh, was it my moon-sun explanation earlier? Was that what it was? Sorry, Paul. Yeah, I just kept bugging. Sorry about that. Okay, let's talk about Champions League. And before we get to your plays, it is the first leg of the quarters today. Explain to us how this draw goes and how it went down this year.
Yeah, so once they get to the quarters, they randomly draw teams. There's no rules about who can play whom or can't play whom. So it's a blind draw, as far as we know.
Sure.
And the four best teams all ended up on the same half of the bracket. So they draw not just for the quarters, but they draw for the semis and all the way down. So Man City, Real Madrid, Arsenal, and Bayern Munich, who are still the four betting favorites, are all on the same half of the bracket. Which
what do
is
you know?
Wild.
What do you know?
What do you know?
I mean, I'm joking about it, but do you believe it's kosher?
As I love to joke about UEFA orchestrating these things. But yeah, gun to my head, I believe it's kosher, but it's a lot more fun to pretend it's not.
Do you like that all four top ended up on one half?
I really do like it, actually, because we get two games in all these matchups. We get two Man City Real Madrid games. We're going to get two Arsenal Bayern games. We're going to get two games for whatever the winners are here. And, you know, the final kind of takes care of itself. It's a final. You don't have to like ramp up stakes or anything. And it will be a little bit more of a mismatch in theory, but it's still the final. You know, the other teams on the other half are still good brand name teams, even if your PSG and Barcelona's, et cetera, are having relatively down years. So yeah, I like that we're going to get two heavyweight quarterfinal matchups in two games each and the same thing in the semis.
All right. And the heavyweight battles are today, right?
Yep. Yeah. Today's the big day. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Let's start with these. These are all at, is it 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, our time, I believe? Yeah.
Yes, correct.
And they're concurrent. That's the other thing, right? Okay, yep. So this is the first leg. So you don't have to take into consideration goal, motivation, and all that stuff.
Correct. The one thing I will say, in the round of 16, 7 of the 8 first legs had 2 or fewer goals. It seems like teams in general the last few years with the elimination of the away goals rule have maybe gotten even more conservative in these first legs. It's the old don't lose it in the first leg type of thing. So that's something that I think definitely comes into play with some of my picks today.
All right. Well, let's start with Man City and Real Madrid. What about that one?
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Last year, City, they drew 1-1 at Real Madrid in the semifinals last year, and then City won 4-0 at home. So we've got a rematch of that. 2 years ago, Madrid upset City in the, I think it was the semifinals. So these teams are very familiar with each other. Pep Guardiola, City's manager, used to be at Barcelona, knows Madrid from then. This is going to be a good one. I like the price you can get on Man City to win this one outright, plus 155. There's question marks about Real Madrid's central defense. One of the regular starters is not there. Not totally sure how they're going to replace him. They've got a few different options. City has some defensive issues of their own injury wise, but they have all their guns blazing with Haaland and De Bruyne and Foden up top. That you give me plus 155 or something in that ballpark just for the better team to win, even if it's on the road, and I'll take that. So I'll take the City win. Get that good plus money price.
Wow, Man City plus 155. Shop around against or at, I should say, Real Madrid. Yeah. One of the two. And again, at points, you know, here we are. I'm locked into my Guardians bet. I'm locked into my tennis bets. This is by far the most massive sporting event in the world today. These two matches.
I love Champions League.
Yeah, this is like, it's just all the stuff we're talking about. Masters can wait till Thursday, college basketball yesterday, but this is it today. Okay. Concurrent to Man City, Real Madrid is Arsenal and Bayern Munich from Bundesliga. How are you playing this?
The two teams in very different spots. Arsenal is, we know exactly what they are. They're great defensively. They're the best defensive team in Europe, in the top two or three by pretty much any metric you want to choose, whether it's expected goals against or shot quality that they're allowing. And Bayern is kind of a mess, relatively. They're 16 points behind in the Bundesliga. They're not going to win it. They kind of scraped by Lazio in the previous round. We keep waiting for them to be Bayern and put everything together, and I've just kind of decided they're not going to this year. Some of it's injuries, some of it's, you know, conflict with coaching, some of it's just inner turmoil. But whatever the reason, I just don't think that they have it. So I'm not worried about Bayern, you know, rolling up the goals in this one. And I'll trust Arsenal's defense because that's what's gotten them here. You know, they're going to try to win this one like 1-0, 2-0 type of thing. And, you know, they know they want to win this because the second leg is in Munich. So I just think it's going to be low scoring. Arsenal's going to try to control this game, keep things buttoned down. I took the under 2.5 goals at plus 115 here.
I am riding your picks, Paul. I am riding these picks. I like it. Okay, right. So Man City outright against Real Madrid. Arsenal, Bayern Munich, the under on 2.5 goals for the reasons that Paul just stipulated. Tomorrow, you're not touching PSG, Barcelona? Not touching that one.
Yeah. There's a lot. Barcelona has a lot of injury questions in the midfield. Not sure if Pedri's going to play. Frankie de Jong may or may not play. I may end up with a play. The Barcelona plus 260 price is really appealing right now. But until I know what that midfield's going to look like, I'm not going to touch that one.
All right. By the way, for those in Castellano-speaking Spain, that was Barcelona we were talking about. But you are, you do have a play on Atletico and Dortmund tomorrow.
Yeah, taking under 2.5 in any Atletico game is about, feels about as square as you can get. This is not the defensive Atletico team they've had in previous years, though. They're still good defensively, and they know they have to win this game because you don't want to go to Dortmund, which is just a rockin' stadium, and have to get a result or get a win there. So I expect a more traditional Atletico performance. Again, grind out a 1-0 win, grind out a 2-0 win maybe. That's what I think we're going to see here. So Atletico will just kind of shut things down, try to steal the goal, get the win, go to Dortmund with the lead. So under 2.5, though, is what I'm going to play in case you get a 1-1 type of game. Minus 115, the under 2.5 price that I got.
All right, Paul Carr on a bit of a heater once again today. Man City outright at Real Madrid, plus 155. The under 2.5 on Arsenal and Bayern Munich. Then tomorrow, under 2.5 on the Atletico Dortmund game. Can't wait. Pumped. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
Love it. Thanks, Gil.
Paul Carr at Paul Carr, by the way. C-A-R-R. Expected Value Podcast. He is the host of that. And he works at True Media Networks, where he proliferates analytics across the sporting world.
Ooh.
Doing God's work. We'll come back. We'll read some tweets. We got some golf, too, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits. For free, just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter bets today. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Live from Barcanada, the barrage at the D, downtown Las Vegas. We get tweets, Kelly. I'm sorry, what did you say?
So that's right. Right here, Barcanada.
Just wondering.
Just like every other day.
You're like, confirmed. Confirmed. What's that Darren Revelle thing he does? He goes, confirmed. Thanks, Darren. We weren't asking you. Brian M. Oh, he had the Pirates first to 10 at 55-1. Or at least he's telling us they were 55-1 pre-flop.
Okay.
Thank you, Brian M.
Good to know.
55
to 1. We knew it was 20 to 1 or longer.
Yeah. Pirates, by the way, again, the first team with action today of the three teams, along with the Yankees and Dodgers that have 9 wins. They host the Tigers about 35 minutes after the show today. We'll get into all the tweets because we have tons of tweets to read in the next hour, but next segment rather. But I mentioned this, that on the heels of our college basketball formula, and when the tournament ends, part of the tradition around here is to go across the pond to our friend Dave Tindall at Dave Tindall Golf on the Twitter machine, because he has himself a master's formula. He's a sports writer who, among other places, you can see his work at Betfair. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line all the way from England. Good morning, or I should say good afternoon, Dave. How are you? Great to see you.
Yeah, I'm great, Gil. How are you? Good to be back.
Doing very well. So let's start with how you do this, the criteria that you look back at the last 10 Masters winners. I know that much. What are the categories that you're looking at to determine or to winnow this down to a potential winner here?
Yeah, so I'm basically looking how many times a thing has happened in the last 10 years. So look, starting with age, the Masters has been good for those in their 20s in the last 10 years. 6 20-somethings have won in the last 10 years. 3 30s, and Tiger, of course, was in his 40s. So it's a point system. So if you are in your 20s, you get 6 points because it's happened 6 times. If you're in your 30s, you get 3 points. It's happened 3 times, and so on. Then we go down the world rankings. This one is a little bit contentious nowadays because are the world rankings correct anymore? You've got Dustin Johnson down at something like 327th, which is a bit mad.
Yeah.
But I guess there are data golf do some good world rankings. So I perhaps maybe should have looked at those. Although, as it happens, even if any of the live guys had been perhaps the ranking, perhaps they should be, they wouldn't have come out on top. Little spoiler alert there. But so it's not going to be a live guy who wins my chance piece. appearances. It's always good to have played Augusta National before and have done well there. 8 of the last 10 winners have played in 3 or more Masters. I think we all know the stat about Fuzzy Zeller in 1979, the last first-time winner. So anyone playing in their first Masters, Ludvig Åberg, Wyndham Clark, I'm afraid you don't going to do too well on my system. A new one this year, I looked at whether anyone had the kind of game for Augusta. We kind of talk about it in general terms, always got the game for Augusta. But I looked at specific categories. Now, we haven't got strokes gained for all the years, but we've got kind of the old school ones. So I looked at how previous winners had performed, and 8 had previously finished in the top 20 for driving distance, 7 in the top 20 for driving accuracy, perhaps a little bit of a surprise when you think maybe you can just spray it anywhere at Augusta. 8 of the last 10 had finished in the top 11th previously for greens in reg. That kind of makes sense. Scrambling's always thought of as important. 8 of the last 10 had ended a previous Masters in the top 20 for scrambling, so that backs that up. Putting average, again, is it the be-all and end-all? It's fairly important. 7 of the last 10 have finished in the top 20 for putting average at one point in their previous Masters career. And then an overall ball striking, it's a combination of some of the other stats. 8 had previously ranked in the top 10 for ball striking, so that's quite an important one. So I looked at the last 10 Masters winners, the 6 categories I've read there, and 8 of them had ticked off 5 of those 6. So kind of you need evidence that you've done a lot of the good things well in the past, not always in the same year, but if you've done it, maybe you put it well 1 year, you've driven it well 1 year, you've hit a lot of greens 1 year. It kind of shows you've got the potential to do it in the same year. And that's obviously when you've got a chance to win. Just quickly, the other ones, defending champion, they don't happen, do they, really? Tiger in 2002, the last one, so that's not good news for John Rahm. Recent form, that's good as well. So I worked out 7 of the last 10 winners had a top 12 in either the same month of the Masters or the month before. That was a little bit different in November, but it applied to October and November in those years. Winning form, 7 of the last 10 Masters winners had actually already won that season. So that's been quite a good stat. Obviously, it gives you great confidence. And then one I really like is how well you've played in recent majors. I know Wyndham Clark was a bit of an outlier, but major winners don't normally come out of thin air. Normally they've done something previously. So nine of the last major winners have had a top six in one of the previous 2 years. So normally you've done something. Even someone like Brian Harman, we think of him as a bit of a surprise. He'd come six in the previous year's Open, so he'd kind of laid down a marker. And then finally we've got last year's. This is a quirky one, this one. If you've played badly the year before, you've got a better chance of winning the year after. I don't know whether it's
interesting.
You left the course. Yeah, you left the course maybe, I'll get you next time kind of thing, or whether you play quite well and you think, I'm probably going to play well next year, and you just have a little bit of complacency. But whatever it is, eight of the last 10 Masters winners hadn't had a top 10 the year before. So if you just look at the top 10 from last year, chances are you probably won't find the winner. So that's another category. So I put those all into my points.
All right, let me step in before you reveal here, the big reveal. Okay. I should probably said this at the beginning for those, Dave doesn't do this for every tournament. He does it for the Masters because it's the same course every year and because it's a very predictive course. So it works out very nicely for Augusta. Just to give some what we like to call street cred over here, Dave, is you didn't hit the winners the last 2 years, but you hit the two runner-ups the last 2 years?
Yeah, I've been close. I had Rory McIlroy 2022 when he came second. He was top ranked. And then looking back to last year, John Rahm was basically got maximum points in 9 of the 10 categories. The only one that let him down was his form had just gone a little bit off the boil in the lead-up to the Masters. But he scored heavily last year, Rahm. I think he was maybe second or third rated. So they do tend to work out quite well, but we just need to hit the winner.
Okay, so Dave aggregates all these points. He has a point system, which he inserted a point system a few years ago, and you add these up. So can we do it dramatically? Can we start with, say, 61 points and up? Let's start there, and let's crescendo up to who you got.
So these are the top seven. So 61 points in seventh place, Will Zalatoris. He's got a second and a sixth at Augusta, so he's proven performer there. 63 points, Dustin Johnson, former winner. Whether he's still got it in him after going to LIV, we don't know. And obviously his Masters win came in November, so he's not won an April Masters. 64 in fifth place is Jordan Spieth. That's no real surprise. An absolute course horse at Augusta. I think he's got 5 top fives, including a win. Number 4 was a bit of a surprise. I didn't expect this to come out. Tommy Fleetwood.
Ooh.
Is the fourth best ranked. Yeah. I think I made that same noise when I saw the rankings come out, because I don't know if you just said guess where he might come. I think he might come sort of 12th.
An international noise, Dave, is what that is. Ooh,
yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, number 3, and no big surprise here, Scotty Scheffler. Maybe it's a surprise he's not number 1, but Scotty Scheffler comes 3rd in my rankings. So he's close. But he doesn't quite win, because at the very, very top, Gil, we have joint winners.
Wow.
Joint winners. Yeah, which is, I don't think I've had that before, but I've totted the scores up time and time again, and they do come out exactly the same. And it changed a little bit with the results in Texas last week. It just bumped one of these players back up to the top, sorry. So the two at number 1, drum roll, are Hideki Matsuyama and Rory McIlroy.
Wow. Now, when you step back from that, we only have 30 seconds here, Dave. Does that, for formula aside, Dave Tindall golf handicapper, does that seem right to you?
I think it does, yeah. I think it does. I really like the way that's come out. I'm definitely back all over Hideki this week.
I think there's more than one of us who are all over Hideki. That is interesting. So Hideki Matsuyama, Rory McIlroy come on top. The first ever tie on top of Dave's Masters formula. Dave, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Gil.
Dave Tindall, everybody. Dave Tindall Golf, T-I-N-D-A-L-L on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Always fascinating as we go from college basketball to the Masters. All your tweets next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.